Hello, friends. Welcome back today to Bible Sunshine. We're glad you've joined us today. We trust that God's Word will be a blessing to your heart on this beautiful spring day in May. Let's pray together, ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your goodness. We pray, Lord, that you'll open our hearts to receive the truth of the Word of God, to be encouraged by it. Help us, Lord, to do as the book of Philippians tells us to do, to rejoice in the Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And let's complete this little section on Timothy, who was a faithful disciple, a faithful servant of the Lord. And in verse 22 of chapter 2, Paul says, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." The Timothy principle is be discipled and disciple others. Timothy's genuine characteristic as a disciple was shown in that his concern was real. He cared for people. He had real and genuine concern. His character was proven. His character had been put to the test and had been refined, approved, stamped with God's approval, we might say. And his companions were godly. Verses 23 and 24 of chapter 2. "Therefore I hope to send him." So Paul is a wonderful companion, and he says, "I hope to send Timothy at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." Paul wanted to revisit the Philippians. In the meantime, he hoped to send Timothy to them. Timothy had good and godly companions. Notice back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 19, and here the Apostle Paul says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us," and he defines the us, he says, "by me, Silvanus," which would be Silas, "and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen." So Paul, Silas, Timothy, faithful servants, godly companions. They shared together in the gospel. Here, they preached Jesus. So Timothy's companions were godly. We can tell much about one's character by the companions that they have. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that evil company corrupts good morals. Absolutely it does. We need good company, good companions. And Timothy had some very good and godly companions. In Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 19 and verse 22, it says here, "So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus." So there's another one added here. Erastus, and Paul sent these two into Macedonia ahead of himself. And then in chapter 20 of Acts, in verse 4, Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, "And Sopater of Berea," remember the Bereans were the ones more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. "Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia." So these were some godly companions of the Apostle Paul and of Timothy himself. So we can see that he was a true disciple. He was a true servant of the Lord Jesus. His concern was genuine. His character was proven, and his companions were godly. So let's just pause for a moment and apply the Timothy principle. We could put it like this. First of all, follow Christ daily. Follow Christ daily. Secondly, allow the body to minister to you. That is the body of Christ. Allow them to minister to you. Allow men of God to teach you the Word of God. Be a Timothy in that you are a learner. You want to learn from the Word of God. Allow the body of Christ and the leaders of the body to minister to you. Be a team player with the pastoral ministry. Be a team player. Come alongside and work together in the gospel with your pastor, with your spiritual leaders. God blesses a church functioning together. And I think that's a great application of the Timothy principle. You come along and you help the work of God to go forward. How we need the multiplication of Timothys. And then be ready for the work that God has in store for you. So all of this is part of being discipled and then discipling others. Some of you have been saved for many, many years. Are you discipling someone? Is there someone younger in the faith that you can encourage? You may say, well, I really don't know what to do. Try this. How about just calling them regularly or meeting with them and asking them about their life, how their life is going? Talk to them about the Lord. Pray with them. Open up Scripture and seek to answer their questions. And it's okay if you don't know the answer. You can tell them, well, I'll get back to you. I'll look for an answer. It is so fulfilling to be involved in the process of discipleship, of seeking to train someone else in the work of God, to encourage someone else. When I was serving for a short time at a Christian school, there was a mentoring program that they had. And there were a couple of students that were assigned to me. And we would meet together weekly for a very few minutes. It might have been 5, 10 minutes, 15 at the most. And we would just talk together. We would pray. I would ask them how things were going. And I have such good memories, even now, of those times together with those young men, praying with them, talking with them, just for a few minutes, seeking to encourage them along the way. In the body of Christ, we need Paul figures who will invest in Timothy figures, that then the Timothy figures will become Paul figures and invest in others, that the baton of truth can continue to be passed along throughout the ages. So look for someone. If you're a believer, you know Jesus, look for someone that you can encourage, that you can strengthen, that you can help along in the pathway of the Christian life. And it will be a tremendous blessing to you. And the Church of Jesus Christ indeed will be strengthened. Well, let me introduce the next section here in Philippians chapter 2. We're introduced to another exemplary biblical character. Notice Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25. Paul says, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Here the Apostle Paul tells us about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was such an encouragement to him, and he was sent from the Philippian church to minister to the Apostle Paul in Rome. Notice, first of all, that his relationship with the Philippians was characterized by willingness. He was a messenger. In verse 25, it says that he was your messenger. the Philippian church sent Epaphroditus to Paul in Rome to minister to his needs. He was sent out by the church, your messenger. Look at chapter 4 in verse 18. Paul says, indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from, who is it? Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you. They had sent to Paul necessities for living, food, perhaps clothing, maybe a little money. The Philippian church had supplied all of this, and the courier, the messenger, was Epaphroditus. So I see that he was a willing messenger. He was a servant representative. He was one who loved to be served. Notice verse 28, back to chapter 2. I sent him the more eagerly, Paul is sending him back, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. The Apostle Paul sent Epaphroditus back to the Philippians. He could report on Paul's condition to them. He could report on the work of God there in Rome. And in verse 29, Paul says, receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. He was to be esteemed because of his service. He was a messenger, and he was a servant representative. They weren't there. The whole church wasn't there to minister to Paul, but they had a representative, Epaphroditus, and he was a special blessing to him. Verse 30 says, because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. He didn't regard his life. He was selfless. This is all in the chapter about humility, about the ultimate example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went all the way to the cross in humble service for us. So here are two key human examples. After the example of Jesus, Timothy, because he cared for not just his own things, but the things of others. And here is Epaphroditus, who didn't think about his own life. Instead, he wanted to minister to the Apostle Paul. He wanted to be that willing servant representative sent from the Philippian church. These examples point us back to Jesus. Jesus' example points us back to humility and the need to live a life of humility and other-centeredness for the glory of God. May God help us today to be Timothys. May God help us today to be an Epaphroditus, to be a blessing to people in God's work and to other believers. So let's go today. Let's, by prayer, serve believers that are in Qatar, in the Middle East, number 18th on the persecution ranking. Let's pray for believers in Saudi Arabia, number 3 on the persecution ranking. And let's pray for Syria, number 41 on the persecution ranking. Let's serve them through prayer. Our Father, we praise you so much for serving us through the Lord Jesus Christ and for godly Paul figures. Make us, Lord, Timothy figures and Epaphroditus figures, those who don't regard their own life, but regard you and regard others. And Lord, we pray right now for believers in Qatar, in Saudi Arabia, in Syria. We pray, Lord, that you will give them spiritual fortitude and strength, that they can stand strong for Christ, that they can stand up for the Bible. Lord, give them scripture in their language. Give them, Lord, training in reading and understanding the scriptures, and may they be able to articulate it to others. Make the church increase in these countries, we pray. And dear Father, I pray for those still sick with the coronavirus. We ask for your healing touch, that they would be raised up, that they could go home and enjoy their loved ones. We pray for believers who are sick with this, that you will strengthen them and raise them up. We pray for unbelievers that they would be saved. We pray, Lord, for our world, for our governments, city, state, and national, Lord, that the hearts of people would turn to you in humility, crying out to you. We pray, do a mighty work in our midst at this time. And we praise you for who you are and for what you're doing. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you, dear friend. I hope you have a wonderful day, and may God's love, light, and life shine upon you today. Amen.